Amen. Hey, how many of you guys ever had one of those days where, man, it just kept getting worse? You know what I'm saying? Just one thing went wrong, and the next thing you know, it's just this avalanche, and you're trying your best to keep it all together and keep it from getting worse. It just kept getting worse as you go, right? It's like the day you decided, you know what? I am going to order some chicken. Right, I'm gonna pull in that day, and it was downhill from there. Next thing you know, you're shelling out the copay. Next thing you know, you're at the emergency room. Next thing you know, Pastor Billy, I'm sick. Next thing you know, we're laying hands on you as the elders. And right, okay. But anyway, seriously, it's just one of those days. It just kept getting worse, and nothing. And then something else happened. And then, well, believe it or not, folks, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but the same thing's going on with these COVID pandemic shots. You thought after the last 3 years, it was bad, but it keeps getting worse. The longer as time comes on, as the truth comes out, it's just another thing comes out that they lied to us about. And the first thing that's getting worse, folks, it's not just that the COVID shots are killing people. We've been seeing that evidence. But listen, now it's coming out that they're, if you do survive, it's sterilizing people and it's killing children. Watch this. It's getting worse as you go.
Seeing a difference, by the way, in the delivery of babies and the health of the babies, this could be for either one of you. We'll start with you, Dr. Thorpe, between the babies that are born by unvaccinated mothers versus those that have been injected?
Yes, absolutely, it's true. There is so much avalanche of data from all over the world that I've reviewed, and I think I should send you my slide deck, PowerPoint. I mean, we're talking about birth rates declining all over the world. All the different countries of the world, I sent you those slides, catastrophic loss in birth rate, increase in miscarriage, increase in severe preeclampsia, increase in fetal malformations, increase in fetal death in the womb, increase in fetal cardiac arrest, fetal cardiac malformation, placental thrombosis. We're seeing a significant increase in preterm delivery. We're seeing the babies that do survive, I'm seeing significant increase in abnormal outcomes. My main concern with these babies, and I hope that it's not permanent, is VAIDS. VAIDS, V-A-I-D-S, vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency syndrome.
Just keeps getting worse, man. That was bad before. What? So now the babies, if they do survive, you basically are like the adults that if they survive, you got AIDS. You don't have an immune system. This is sick. And as bad as that is, folks, guess what? It gets even more worse. As time has gone on, as we suspected, there were people in high up places that went along with this, including our own government, including, watch this, the Department of Defense. Watch this. This is crazy.
But I can tell you what I know for a fact. The United States government funded gain-of-function research that would manipulate these viruses to enable humans to infect other humans. In other words, we created, and our money helped create a super virus that killed millions of people. It's only the biggest scandal of our time when it comes to, at least when it comes to public health. There's so many scandals, I got to put an asterisk next to it. But he says something at the end about who funded it. Does he say the DOD here? Department of Defense? Listen for yourself.
Given what we know now and looking at all the conversations in February of 2020 and before the release of the paper, do you think that Dr. Fauci used this paper to hide the gain-of-function research created, the gain-of-function research created this virus?
I can't talk about Fauci's motivation.
Do you think that the paper does hide the truth?
I think it's an inaccurate paper that basically was part of a narrative that they were creating. Remember, this pandemic did not start in January at the seafood market. We now know there was infections all the way back into September. This was a narrative that was decided that they were going to say this came from the wet market, and they were going to do everything they could to support it to negate any discussion about the possibility that this came from a laboratory.
I got 20 seconds left. Dr. Fauci was affirmatively told in an email that NIAID had a monetary relationship with the Wuhan Institute through EcoHealth Alliance. He was told this in January 27th of 2020. Do you think that Dr. Fauci intentionally lied under oath to Senator Paul when he vehemently denied NIH's funding of gain-of-function research?
I think there's no doubt that NIH was funding gain-of-function research.
Is it likely that American tax dollars funded the gain-of-function research that created this virus?
I think it did, not only from NIH, but from the State Department, USAID, and from DOD.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So the Department of Defense.
What the?
Department of Defense. Yeah. Oh, WTF is correct. What the was the Department of Defense doing funding research, according to Redfield, of a human-to-human supervirus that wiped out millions of people?
Yeah, good question. It gets worse as you go. The more that comes out over time. I'll tell you why the Department of Defense was involved. Because there's people in our own government who have sold their souls to people like Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. In the old days, that used to be called treason. And they were hung for it. Oh, and by the way, did you know that Dan Bongino is no longer on Fox and neither is Tucker Carlson? I wonder why. Think it's by chance? I don't think so. But this is why, folks, we've been seeing the last seven times a big chunk of this murderous behavior. There is a plan. It's from this guy and the global elites, including our own country, who are working for him. His name is Klaus Schwab. And he's building, this is why we're dealing with it biblically from the pulpit, because he is building what I'm convinced the Bible warned about 2,000 years ago. It's called the Antichrist Kingdom. A coming global government, coming global economy, cashless society, mark of the beast system, and it just gets worse as you go. Okay? And then, again, it's no surprise if you do the research, where did he get these crazy megamaniac ideas from? Well, his dad was buddies with Hitler. This was Klaus's background. This is his upbringing, right? So, and his dad, you know, that thought that was a great thing, the Nazis and what they tried to do. And, of course, this is what Klaus, in a nutshell, is bringing to the planet. Hitler only got so far as Germany, he lost the war. Klaus has picked up the baton, and he's bringing it now, basically Hitler's agenda, to the whole world. Okay, but of course you can't call it the Fourth Reich. That's too obvious. He calls it what? The Fourth Industrial Revolution or the Great Reset. And what did he admit was the trigger that they created globally to get this thing started? The COVID pandemic to reset our world, okay, in their new vision. This is what's been going on. This is what it is. And we've seen so far the proof of that is Klaus Schwab and the current Holocaust. Hitler had a Holocaust. Klaus Schwab's a part of a Holocaust 116 times bigger than the last one. And that's conservative estimates. The murderous motive, Hitler considered people who didn't go along and was useful to him as useless eaters. Klaus and the gang use the same terminology to any of us that don't go along with their program. We saw the global food control, and not only that, the global food murders. Hitler did the same thing to control and take people out. Also, the genetic food murders, the eugenics program, and the genetic altering technology is the same thing that Hitler did. This technology is not coming. It's already here. CRISPR and mRNA is just two of those. And then last time we saw, guess what? It's leading to a genetic altering apocalypse, okay? It's not just that these guys want to continue Hitler's eugenics program across the world, okay? They're already doing it. The technology is already here, and they're already doing it, and it's leading towards, and they even admit it, an apocalyptic scenario, just like last time it happened in the days of Noah. And we saw that the first evidence was they are genetically modifying even the insects. Doesn't that bug you guys? It totally bugs me, right? They can't leave anything alone. So in all seriousness, you better watch out for those mosquitoes this year, okay? They're being genetically modified and brought here to the U.S. But it wasn't just the insects. They're genetically modifying what? Right? Plants, which also is our food supply and what we eat. And what's the other thing we eat? Animals. Not coming. This is already being done. They're genetically modifying animals into some freakish things. And what's the point? This isn't just what Hitler did on steroids and now bring it to the whole planet. This is what it has to do with Bible prophecy. Jesus said what? Matthew 24. As it was in the days of who? Noah. So shall it be. Not maybe, not might. It will happen again. What? At the coming of the Son of Man. You're going to see a repeat of the days of Noah. And that's what we're seeing. Mankind, God's creation, is being hybridized out into something against God's creation. And that was one of the reasons why God did what he did and judged the planet last time. Okay? But what's the theme today? The encouraging theme? It gets worse as you go. Turn to somebody with those encouraging words. Say, hey, guess what? It gets worse as you go. Right? Don't you feel better? It feels awesome, right? Well, it is. And Lord willing, if we're still alive and still here, this is going to be the next two studies at least. Watch this. Now they're doing it to us humans. It's bad enough that you genetically modified the insects, the plants, the animals. They're doing it to humans. Not coming. It's already being done. And again, this is a huge sign that the days of Noah are being repeated. Because this was the specific sin that God called out in the Genesis text that is being repeated today just in time for the return of Jesus Christ. But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God. So let's go back to that Genesis account. Why did God cause the world to be flooded and that only 8 humans survived, Noah and his family, and then the animals that were on the ark? Why was he doing that? Why did he allow that to happen? What was the cause? What was the motivation of that? Well, we're going to see 2 sins mentioned in this, and let's see if they're being repeated today. Genesis 6, verses 1 through 7. It's on page 8 in my Bible. You should be able to get there pretty quick, right? If you find Revelation, what do? Close it, flip it over, start. You're at the opposite end of the spectrum, right? But let's stand as we read God's holy word. Why did God hit a restart button on humanity the first time, also known as the flood of Noah? Well, here's the reason why. When men began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God, angels, specifically, contextually, has to be fallen angels because of what they did. Holy angels wouldn't do this. Sons of God, angels, saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they what? Married any of them they chose. And then the Lord says, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. The who, the what? The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God, the fallen angels, went to daughters of men, and what? They didn't just marry them. What happened? They had an offspring, children by them, some freakish thing. They were the heroes of old, the men of renown. And so, oh boy, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And so the Lord was grieved that he made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. And so the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I've created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, and birds. Notice that's everything. Man, animals, insects, everything, right? That move along the ground, the birds, the air. Why? I am grieved that I had made them. And of course, you want to add number 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't go along with the program. Amen. Interesting. You may see it if you can, but again, we've seen this text before, but what do we see here? This tells us 2 reasons why God judged the planet. Why did he hit a restart button on humanity? Well, number 1, what did he say here? Mankind got to the point where they were thinking evil continually all the time. Good thing that's not happening. It's everywhere, right? So they're ching. So there you go. And there's number 1. But what about the other one that was mentioned there? That there was some freakish creature. There was some freakish creation. Mankind was being, and this is the term I use, hybridized out into something that wasn't human. And that was specifically given a name called out in Scripture, Nephilim. It's Nephil in the Hebrew. And it literally means, yeah, it's heroes of old, men of renown, but it literally means giants. And so you stir all this together. Well, how do you know that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back? Well, when you see the repeat of the days of Noah. Well, what was going on in the days of Noah? So we know we're getting close. Well, number 1, mankind would be thinking evil all the time. Already there. Number 2, as crazy as it sounds, mankind would have the audacity to start tweaking with mankind again to the point where now you're flirting with creating something that's not even human. That's what's coming. And not just what's coming. That's what these guys admit that they want to bring to the planet. I've been shouting this from the rooftops the last couple of years, every place I go. And I'm warning people, listen, it's not just that Klaus Schwab wants to bring a great reset, meaning that the first side is an economic reset. That is true. That's why Biden was brought in from the World Economic Forum and has been in our government for years. And that's why they put him in place, right? That's why they rigged the election to get him there. They had to get him in there, okay, because he's being put in place to destroy the economy. Because if you're going to reset the global economy, you got to get rid of the global standard. We're the standard. The dollar's the standard. So if you're going to do that, you got to get rid of America's in the way. So you got to get somebody in office who listen, who would live up to their name. Biden, bumbling imbecile, destroying the entire nation. He's doing it on purpose. Every decision's made wrong on purpose to destroy our economy, including not just the dumb decisions that's hurting us, but the spending and all that stuff. Because we have to go down. So it's a slow burn. Now, listen, most of us get that. We go, yeah, he's trying to reset the economy. And that's why America's under attack and they're trying to destroy. I mean, listen, it isn't just what these guys want to bring to the planet. It's an economic reset. Of course, flip the coin over and they want to bring in a human reset. They want to create a whole new race of people who they call basically human 2.0. They're the elites. They know better than us. And just like they've already genetically modified the insects and the plants and the animals because they know better, they're going to do better than God, they also want to do it to us humans. And if you don't go along with the program, you're a useless eater, a useless person, and we'll take care of you. This is what's going on. But what is this? This desire to tweak all of God's creation and now even humans. What is this? This is the days of Noah, man. This is what caused God to judge the planet the first time. And Jesus said, when you see him doing it again, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Okay. Now, again, for proof, you think, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory, Pastor Bobby, Billy. And you got that from, Al Joe's Chicken Bob site, right? You know, you can't trust that information. These guys really don't want to turn us into non-humans. Again, let's listen to Klaus Schwab's science advisor, Yuval Noah Harari. And he admits, even on his 60 Minutes, it's on tape, that, when these guys get done with this, we're probably sitting here, the last true humans on the planet. I didn't say it. He did. It's on tape. Watch this.
When Yuval Noah Harari published his first book, Sapiens, in 2014, about the history of the human species, it became a global bestseller and turned the little-known Israeli history professor into one of the most popular writers and thinkers on the planet. But when we met with Harari in Tel Aviv this summer, it wasn't our species' past that concerned him. It was our future. Harari believes we may be on the brink of creating not just a new enhanced species of human, but an entirely new kind of being, one that's far more intelligent than we are. It sounds like science fiction, but Yuval Noah Harari says it's actually much more dangerous than that.
You said, we are one of the last generations of Homo sapiens. Earth will be dominated by entities that are more different from us than we are different from chimpanzees.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean? That freaked me out.
You know, we'll soon have the power to re-engineer our bodies and brains, whether it is with genetic engineering or by directly connecting brains to computers or by creating completely non-organic entities, artificial intelligence, which is not based at all on the organic body and the organic brain. And these technologies are developing at breakneck speed.
If that is true, then it creates a whole other species.
This is something which is way beyond just another species.
It's whether or not you're still a human when we're done with you. And that's another thing they keep saying. How far can we do this? And technically, you're not a human anymore. Now, again, this is on tape. This is not some conspiracy theory. Not just an economic reset. What do they want to bring to the planet? A human reset. What is this? What are we talking about here? This is a repeat of the days of Noah. You know that passage of scripture that people have read a million times and they just skip right over it? They don't even pay attention. Nephilim, yellow, that was weird. What's the next chapter? Or churches who refuse to talk about it? Oh, it's very applicable today, right? This is what they're doing. The last true generation. You might go, well, where in the world are these guys getting their ideas? Why would Klaus want to bring this mindset to the planet that they know better than God, and they're going to genetically modify not just insects and plants and animals, but now even humans, and you know, you're probably the last generation of true humans, you know. Where'd they get this from? It rhymes with Hitler. You know why? It was Hitler. This is Klaus's environment. Hitler did all kinds of crazy experiments on humans. In fact, once again, let's take a look at the world that Klaus grew up in and his dad was buddies with. Here's just a few more of their sicko experiments during World War II. Watch this.
The concentration camps operated by the Nazis will forever be remembered as one of the most shameful displays of human cruelty in history. Starvation, forced labor, physical abuse, and the risk of execution were all daily realities in the camps. But at Buchenwald, prisoners were also used as guinea pigs for research. Among the most notorious were the incendiary experiments carried out between 1943 and 1944. These experiments involved intentionally exposing prisoners to severe white phosphorus burns in order to better understand the nature of the wounds caused by incendiary bombs, as well as evaluate their effectiveness of various treatments. White phosphorus, if you're wondering, results in chemical burns capable of eating down to the bone. Testing the resilience of a human body without consent, however, is torture, and that's just what the Nazis did. In Dachau, the scientists purposefully froze Jewish and Russian prisoners to the point where they passed out or died to better educate themselves on cold weather before pushing the Eastern Front. They also studied the effects of being at high altitudes using pressure chambers, as well as trying to make seawater drinkable, both of which reportedly killed most subjects.
They performed experiments, painful often, on the children consigned to death.
Why would they do such a thing? Well, scientists of the Third Reich clearly weren't exactly concerned with their morality or ethics and saw their prisoner populations as opportunities to study infectious illnesses in a controlled environment in order to develop treatments. The various experiments were carried out in both the aforementioned Dachau and Buchenwald concentration camps, as well as Sachsenhausen, Natzweiler, and Neuengamme. To be clear, they weren't interested in finding a cure for the common cold. The inoculations included such deadly diseases as epidemic jaundice or infectious hepatitis, tuberculosis, malaria, typhoid fever, yellow fever, and typhus, and unsurprisingly claimed countless lives. If there's one evil Nazi scientist whose name has etched its way into the mainstream, it's Dr. Josef Mengele. An SS officer, Mengele was one of the leading medical minds of the Third Reich. After having requested a transfer to a concentration camp, Mengele took up his post as chief physician of Auschwitz, where he sent thousands of prisoners to their death in the gas chambers. It was here that he performed his inhumane genetic experiments, including his research on twins. Amputations, intentional introduction of disease, and unnecessary blood transfusions were all just a few of the techniques he employed, and he reportedly even sewed two twins together. He was never captured.
Horrible chapter in human history. Good thing that went away. No. A lot of these guys never brought to trial. They went to other countries. If we're still alive and still here, next week we'll see that we brought a whole big chunk of them to our own country called Operation Paperclip. And it wasn't just rocket science. Do the research. There was some of these guys doing experimentation on humans in our own country. What are we talking about here? This is the world that Klaus grew up in. They'd have the audacity, against people's will, to make them into the lab rats. What's been happening in the last 3 years? We are their lab rats. It's the same mindset. Klaus has taken what Hitler did in Germany, and he's bringing it to the world, including genetic modification of God's creation, including humans. Now, if they showed up on the scene and said, hey, it's the Great Reset, Fourth Industrial Revolution, we're not going to call it the Fourth Reich, that's too obvious. But when we're done with you, it's not just an economic reset, we're going to genetically modify you into something that's non-human, most people would freak. So what they've been doing, Klaus has been working on this, making plants in the government, including our own, since 1971 when he founded the World Economic Forum, right? He's been training, quote, young global leaders for 50 years and planting them in every country. So there's a step by. I call them his SS agents to do his bidding. And then the COVID pandemic was the trigger to trigger all of them to get started. That's why when the pandemic started, every country had a uniform response. They're all Klaus's buddies, right? So, but he's not just planting them around the world, but these guys are also doing his bidding. And he's been working on getting them in place little by little, but he's also been working on us little by little, getting used to the ultimate goal. To make us into something non-human. It's a step-by-step process. Like a frog in a pot, you warm up slowly. Otherwise, he's going to jump out. It's too obvious, right? And the first way we know that was the first major step they took. And this has been going on for years. It didn't seem like much in the beginning. But it was getting us used to going outside of God's design for humans. And that was multiple parent humans. Okay? And again, it doesn't sound like much, right? But I think you guys are biblically discerning. We were just in the Genesis account. If you go a couple chapters earlier, then you're going to see that God made what? Male and
female.
That's it. That's all it'll ever be. Right? Now, God made male and female. Why? So that they could what? Procreate and fill the earth, multiply. Right? So if you're going to procreate according to God's design, you need one male and one female. How many guys can figure that out without any help? Guys are genius, right? And for those of you hooked on math, that equals to how many? Two. So God's design is one male, one female, have a baby. Yay. But see, you can't leave that alone. And this is what they did. It didn't seem like much at first. But you know what? Because after all, it's for the children. We're going to mess with that design, one male, one female, and we're going to bring in a third parent. So we can take some genes from that and do a little mixy matching, and it's going to help these kids out. It's called three-parent babies. It may not seem like much, but you're going against God's design, and it has disastrous results. Shocker. But let's take a look at three-parent babies.
In our morning rounds, a new fertility technique has produced the world's first so-called three-parent baby. The procedure took place in Mexico, and the baby was born in April. The controversial procedure reported yesterday uses genetic material from one man and two women. The breakthrough treatment intends to stop mothers from passing down genetic disorders to their children. Our Dr. David Agus is in Los Angeles. David, good morning.
Morning, Nora.
So explain what they mean by a three-parent baby.
Well, this was a woman who had a mitochondrial defect. So there's DNA in your chromosomes, and there's some DNA in your mitochondria. So in her case, they took out her chromosomes, so her nucleus, and they put it into a donor's egg where the nucleus had been removed.
In mothers whose eggs have a healthy nucleus surrounded by defective mitochondria, the little batteries that power cells, that nucleus is transferred to a donor egg with healthy mitochondria and which has had its nucleus removed. The hybrid egg is fertilized with the father's sperm, and the resulting embryo then has genetic coding from three parents, the mother, the egg donor, and the father.
The procedure was started in the 90s. They were doing it, and then it stopped because some bad things happened.
Go figure. You're messing with God's design, but you're still doing it anyway. That was back in the 90s. Did you catch what they called it? What kind of egg was it?
Hybrid egg.
You even admit you know what you're doing is technically outside of God's original creation, but you're doing it anyway. Okay? But again, what are we talking about? They're not just genetically modifying crops and animals and insects. They're what? Even humans. And they admit we're flirting with disaster. It may not go well, but they're still doing it anyway. Watch this on tape. This is crazy.
I am not saying I want a child with pretty blue eyes. What I am saying is we have an opportunity to prevent mitochondrial disease, truly cruel diseases, by replacing 37 genes, which are the energy cells, the battery pack.
David King, what's the problem?
Well, my main concern is it's true enough that I wouldn't, you know, I'm very happy to believe that Rachel doesn't want, a designer baby with blue eyes and blonde hair and so on. But the trouble is, once you cross this line in the sand, which is a line that has been set down by governments and ethicists around the world for the last 30 years, very firm line that we shouldn't genetically alter human beings. Once you cross that line, it's really hard, logically speaking, to argue why you shouldn't take the next step and then the next step after that.
In other words, you just open up Pandora's box, and if you're going to allow that, it ain't going to stop there. And that's exactly it. This was just the first step, getting us used to it. Just, it didn't seem like much, just a little tweaking, just, okay, let's just add another parent. And I'm sure it's going to work out. No, it's not. And I quote, again, you're messing with God's design. Three-parent baby technique could create babies at risk of severe disease. And this is from the MIT Technology Review, not wackyjoeguy.com. And here's what they admit. No evidence shows it might not work as planned and might not always be successful. New evidence shows that that's the case. And it reveals that in babies that were conceived in this procedure, three parents, there is shown what scientists have called, quote, reversion. That is, the portion of the mitochondrial genes from the child's mother has increased over time from less than 1% to around 50% in one baby and 72% in another. And I quote, this could spell disaster, leaving babies with devastating and potentially fatal illnesses, and quote, could be handed down from one generation to the next. So if that baby even survives this procedure, you're probably going to get some sort of other disease. But remember, that's supposed to save you from this other disease. Again, you're tweaking God's design. But then again, even if they do survive and that child grows up, has a baby of their own, what's going to happen? You forever alter future generations, which means, it's called, the term in science is called germline. the original germline, the original line of humanity that's been here since God created us in the beginning, it's forever altered. This is what they're doing. This is what they're flirting with, right? They said, quote, "No one really knows what effect this will have on the lifelong development of the resultant children." Quote, "Should we be experimenting with humans in this way?" Quote, "Three-parent babies are unethical, unproven, dangerous, and unnecessary." But they're still promoting today because it's good for the kids. And that's been in for quite some time. But that was just step one. Again, they're just warming us up. Didn't seem like much. Okay, so we're just adding an extra parent. What's the big deal? Right? That is leading to what they even admitted it's going to lead to when you go down this route, to the second step. The second step, it's getting us conditioned for designer humans. Because really, that's what Klaus and Nagin want to do. Human 2.0, they know better. They want us to be upgraded with certain techniques and certain things and genetic upgrades and whatever. That's what it is, right? And this is what they are saying that we are headed. And I quote, "If legalized, multiple parent babies, three-parent babies," and it is being legalized, "this takes us across a massive ethical threshold. It allows the design and manufacture of a human being with certain properties that constitutes, quote, a designer baby. Once the line of selection is crossed, what will stop advocates from pushing for selecting other characteristics, not just the mitochondrial issue, but other characteristics like hair or eye color?" Wait a second. Who's trying to determine hair and eye colors? Hitler. "Babies will become commodities where only the wealthy can produce the results they want. The three-parent technique that doctors say will prevent some inherited diseases is a step towards creating designer babies. And they can be genetically modified for, listen, beauty, intelligence, not just free, supposedly, of disease." And this is the other thing they're getting us set up for. It's again, warmed up to it. Because after all, like when you go to the store, you don't just take whatever they got at the rack. When you go to the dealer to get a car, you just take whatever they got there? No, you say what? I want this one. I want this model. I want this size. I want this color. So why can't I do that with my kid? I want a kid with blonde hair, blue eyes, does not eat chicken. And on it goes, right? And that literally is how they're pitching it. That this is the next best thing. Now, parents, you can have a choice to have a designer baby. This is what they're promoting. Watch this. This is nuts.
"Soon, some of you will try to make better babies.
Designer babies, where parents can pick eye color as well as things like intelligence and height.
Already, some people pay labs to examine embryos and pick the one with the DNA they like. People choose the gender and screen for diseases. But so far, you've been limited to harvesting genes that exist naturally. But that will soon change.
For the first time, Chinese scientists use new technology to alter DNA in human embryos.
The design babies are supposed to be immune to many diseases. We already give our kids music lessons, braces, tutoring, karate lessons, any advantage we can. Why not also give them better genes? Imagine, he says, a world where people are much smarter, maybe smart enough to avoid wars, to take us to other planets, and other things we can't even imagine.
Maybe we'll turn them into X-Men.
One objection to customizing babies is that at first, only rich people will be able to pay for it.
This is going to be a new way to create disparities in wealth.
There's absolutely no justification for creating a eugenic society.
Most Americans agree.
There's a poll here on designer babies, and it asked whether it would be okay to boost intelligence. 83% say taking medical advances is going too far.
I would like to have a child, not a robot, and I understand if you want to protect...
they're with you.
I mean, where does it stop, you know? And yeah. I think the other thing is there should be things that we leave up to God.
Voice of reason in the midst of all that stuff. This is what's coming. This is ultimately where it is. It's warming us up a little bit, a little. We've been used to for quite a now. Okay, that's kind of weird. I never thought about that before, but three parents. Okay, but it's really good for the kids. And hey, I mean, come on, man. As parents, you love your kids. You do the best for your kids, right? You give them the best education you can. You teach them how to, you know, defend themselves and do all these other things. Why not give them a genetic upgrade? Now, you and I, old fuddy-duddies, may resist this. But the generations on down below us, where it's all about self and technology, give me the latest upgrade, it's an easy slide for that mentality to say, yeah, I want to upgrade my baby. And again, this is already being promoted. And I quote, listen to this. Want a child with blue eyes and blonde hair? Why not design a highly intelligent group of people who could be tomorrow's leaders and scientists? Now, with technology is possible. It would be the biggest thing that's ever happened in our field. Everyone would want the perfect child. It would be the next step for humans. No, you know what it is? It's old-fashioned eugenics from Hitler on steroids now being put across the world. This is Klaus's world, and this is what he's bringing to the planet. And I quote, Hitler wanted to develop what? An Aryan racial state to dominate not just Europe, not just Germany, but what? If he would have won, he's going to bring this to the whole planet, the world. And the Aryans were what? Blonde hair, blue-eyed, what he considered the physical ideal in Nazi Germany. And now today, with Klaus and the gang, they got the technology to pull it off. They just have to convince the rest of us to go along. And for those who don't go along, they're conditioning people. Oh, that's one of those useless people. Now, what most people don't realize is Hitler not only wanted this to create his perfect race, but he had a breeding program. He was breeding children to fit his ideal race to repopulate the planet by the thousands. The plan was actually called Lebensborn Program, if you want to check into it. But here's a quick explanation of what he did. He didn't just want to do this. He was in the process of doing it with his limited technology of the day. But watch this.
World War II is known for some of the worst atrocities committed against humanity. Many can agree that this was a dark time in our history, fueled by a ruthless ideology and a desire to promote the well-being of what was considered the superior or master Aryan race. The Aryan race included those with pure German blood, who possessed white skin, blonde hair, and blue eyes, modeled after Scandinavian people. Given the lengths the Nazis were willing to take to create a new Germany, it may seem unsurprising that they would have a program specialized for breeding human beings in accordance with their philosophy on eugenics. During the 12 years of the Third Reich, between 1933 and 1945, it's estimated that around 20,000 babies were bred by the Nazis in Germany as well as in Norway. A state-sponsored top-secret program known as Lebensborn was initiated by Heinrich Himmler. The word Lebensborn means fountain of life. It focused on increasing the birth rate of blonde, blue-eyed Aryan children through interbreeding. Children produced from the Lebensborn program were to be brought up in special institutions where they would be indoctrinated in Nazi ideology. They were meant to lead a glorious future in the new Germany, but Hitler and the Nazis didn't anticipate losing the war.
Do you see what his goal was? I'm going to breed as many of these better humans as possible in my new utopia I'm building for the planet. And Klaus has picked up the baton, and now he's bringing it to the world. But you can't call it Lebensborn. That's too obvious. It's just a designer baby. I mean, after all, you got used to that multi-parent thing. I know it's a little weird, but we made it through that. Everything's fine, right? We could design our own kids. You know, younger generations. Just like you do with your clothes and your car. It's going to be great. But what it's going to lead to is what's called the Gattaca scenario. And I quote, the research raises ethical alarms. Human embryo editing research may not be adequately controlled, leaving it open to a lab somewhere to create who knows what. And you could find wealthy parents buying the latest offspring upgrades for their children. We could see the emergence of genetic haves and have-nots, leading to a greater inequality than we already have to live with. Some of the key scientists in this field have concerns about the potential misuse of a technology that could be used for eugenics to, quote, create genetic discrimination. People could use the gene editing for non-therapeutic genetic enhancement, such as making designer babies with blue eyes or a high IQ, quote, and a Gattaca-type dystopian future. And you're going, well, what's a Gattaca? Gattaca schmant. Gattaca was a movie they made, I believe for propaganda, that was all about this world. You had the haves and the have-nots. They were called the valids, who got the genetic upgrades, and they got all the good jobs. You had the invalids, those who resisted or were born naturally. You got the bad jobs. Had to go work in a sewer or something like that. But if you're not familiar with that movie, here's the premise. Let's take a look at that.
Genetics, what can it mean? The ability to perfect the physical and mental characteristics of every unborn child.
In the not too distant future, our DNA will determine everything about us. A minute drop of blood, saliva, or a single hair determines where you can work, who you should marry, what you're capable of achieving. In a society where success is determined by science, divided by the standards of perfection, one man's only chance...
How do you expect to pull this off?
I don't know exactly.
...is to hide his own identity.
This is the last day that you're going to be you and I'm going to be me.
...by borrowing someone else's.
Congratulations.
What about the interview?
That was it.
You don't need an interview because your genetic makeup determines your status in society. That's the whole premise of that movie. It was made in 1997, over 25 years ago, to get us used to the idea of what they want. And I quote, in the not-too-distant future, eugenics will be common, so much so that a genetic registry database using biometrics to classify those created as valids who receive the genetic upgrades and those conceived naturally who are known as invalids. Valids qualify for professional employment, while invalids are relegated to menial jobs. You know, those useless people who don't go along with the program. This is what Klaus is bringing to the planet. And if you don't think it's going to create that kind of a genetic discrimination, two classes of society, again, Yuval Noah Harari, which, by the way, the guy's a Jewish guy. You would think he would know better to be messing around with you. What? But he admitted on tape, it's going to lead to the Gattaca scenario. Once you start designing babies, it's going to be humans and whatever and the haves and have-nots. But watch what he's... Oh, and by the way, watch what he admits, who are some of the biggest fans of his writings. Watch this.
Yuval Noah Harari is talking about the race to develop artificial intelligence, as well as other technologies like gene editing that could one day enable parents to create smarter or more attractive children, and brain-computer interfaces that could result in human-machine hybrids.
What does that do to a society? I mean, it seems like the rich will have access, whereas others wouldn't.
One of the dangers is that we will see in the coming decades a process of greater inequality than in any previous time in history, because for the first time it will be real biological inequality. If the new technologies are available only to the rich or only to people from a certain country, then Homo sapiens will split into different biological castes because they really have different bodies and different abilities.
Harari has spent the last few years lecturing and writing about what may lie ahead for humankind. His writings have been recommended by President Barack Obama, as well as tech moguls Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg.
I wonder why. Anybody seen a pattern? These elites love this guy. I'll say it again. Because it's not just an economic reset. It's a human reset. And these guys can afford the genetic upgrades. You better start saving your money. This is sick. This is the world that they think, the man-made utopian rebellion against God, that these guys are unleashing on the planet. And I quote, this is the stuff of dystopian scientific fiction stories, and we may be approaching such a world faster than we think. In other words, that Gattaca movie, that's going to be our society if God doesn't intervene real quick. This is Hitler on steroids. He only made it as far as Germany. Klaus has picked up the baton. He's been working behind the scenes for the last 50 years, and he's got his SS agents and eugenists in high places today, even our own country, to pull it off. And the COVID pandemic was the trigger to begin to put it all into place. But they have a date in mind, and the ultimate goal is we got to start cranking these babies out. And that's why the third one is they're getting this used to manufacturing humans, right? Because, again, these guys have a date, and that date is all over the place, right? And that date is this. It's 2030. Now, whether they make that date or not, I don't know. God's the one that's really in charge. If you doubt me, read Psalm chapter 2. Go to sleep at night. It says, he who sits enthroned in heaven, i.e. God, he is laughing at these guys. Yes. You really think you're going to overthrow my son's kingdom coming? You kidding me? Read it. It's a fantastic verse. Should encourage us in the midst of all this atrocity. But that's their date, 2030. So that's why we're experiencing right now the slow burn since Biden got in, right? And they're on track to reset the economy. But it isn't just reset the economy. It's what? Reset humanity. And so you better not just get people used to it. You better start figuring out how to crank them out. Your new humans that you think are worthy to be a part of this utopia that you're building, like Hitler did, like the breeding program, right? Well, again, that's something that we've been warmed up to. Getting used to the scenario where we can manufacture humans. And believe it or not, it started years ago, back in 1978. Remember the first test tube baby? A baby created in the lab? Let's revisit that scenario.
The pink, healthy baby girl who began life in a test tube.
The world's first baby successfully conceived outside the mother's womb. Paul Cunningham has more from London.
She began by telling the world about it. The pink, healthy baby girl who began life in a test tube. Louise Brown is her name, delivered through cesarean section by a British medical team headed by gynecologist Patrick Steptoe, who, with Dr. Robert Edwards, developed the technique of test tube fertilization. When the doctors discovered that her mother's fallopian tubes were blocked and she could not conceive normally, they removed an egg from her ovaries, fertilized it with her husband's sperm, and replaced it in her uterus. From then on, baby Louise developed normally, although she was a little small at birth.
Doctors reported that the baby was doing fine and eating well, and the parents, they reported, were doing fine too.
But you can't say Frankie baby today. That's not politically correct, right? But again, you see, it didn't seem like much. You know, if you stick with God's creation, it's a man and a woman, and they come together and have a baby, whatever. But we don't need that anymore. We could just do it in a test tube. And that was back in 78. We're so used to that. We just don't say Franken baby. But we're used to that. Well, now they've already gone to the next step. All right, so if you're used to, okay, now we can just do this in a laboratory, how about we just not just skip the whole male-female normal procedure, how about we just get rid of the whole female part of it, meaning the womb? And so we can create them in a lab, not just in a test tube, but we can carry them full term in a new bio bag. Doesn't that sound enticing? Artificial wombs already being created. Watch this.
What you are looking at is a living, breathing, swallowing, premature baby lamb inside a bag filled with fluid. It's called an artificial womb and is meant to mimic the real thing, a mother's uterus. Canadian researcher Dr. Emily Partridge helped create the so-called biobag with a team of scientists in Philadelphia. The tests are on lambs, but the goal is meant to eventually help human babies. In this research, the lambs tested were equivalent in age to a 23-week human fetus. They were taken from their mothers via C-sections and placed in transparent bags filled with a liquid substitute for amniotic fluid. The lamb's umbilical cord is attached to a machine that doubles as a placenta, which exchanges carbon dioxide in the blood with oxygen. No ventilator is needed since the lamb's heart does all the pumping. Researchers say some of the lambs remained healthy in their liquid bag for over a four-week period, breathing normally, opening their eyes. Some even grew wool.
Researchers hope to begin clinical trials on human babies in the next 3 to 5 years. Then down the road, neonatal units could come equipped with these incubators of the future. Not much different than what's there now, say researchers, except a baby will be placed inside a biobag.
Man, you know what to do if you want to score some points next time your wife's pregnant. Honey, look at you. You just glow with that biobag. Look at that. It's amazing. Biobag? Again, it might not seem like much, but wait a second. First, you know, we don't need the whole male. We create that in a test tube, and then, ladies, we don't even need you anymore. We can now take that test tube result and stick it in a biobag, and it's headed somewhere, folks. Remember, what did Hitler do? He had a program called Lebensborn, and he bred upwards to 20,000 babies as fast as he could because he was planning on winning the war, and then they would be the leaders of this new utopia. This is the next step that they're creating. Manufactured humans, not just on a massive scale, because we can just slip them in a bio bag. Listen, but at the same time, you can genetically modify them however you want. But of course, you don't call it Lebensborn plan. That's too obvious. You ready? It's just simply called Ectolife. Doesn't that sound great? Here's where it's headed, folks. They're going to start cranking out genetically modified children on a massive scale. Watch this.
Introducing Ectolife, the world's first artificial womb facility, powered entirely by renewable energy. Ectolife allows infertile couple to conceive a baby and become the true biological parents of their own offspring. It's a perfect solution for women who had their uterus surgically removed due to cancer or other complications. With Ectolife, premature births and C-sections will be a thing of the past. Ectolife is designed to help countries that are suffering from severe population decline, including Japan, Bulgaria, South Korea, and many others. The facility features 75 highly equipped labs. Each state-of-the-art lab can accommodate up to 400 growth pods or artificial wombs. Every pod is designed to replicate the exact conditions that exist inside the mother's uterus. A single building can incubate up to 30,000 lab-grown babies per year. The artificial intelligence-based system also monitors the physical features of your baby and reports any potential genetic abnormalities. And if you want your baby to stand out and have a brighter future, our elite package offers you the opportunity to genetically engineer the embryo before implanting it into the artificial womb. Thanks to CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing tool, you can edit any trait of your baby through a wide range of over 300 genes. By genetically engineering a set of genes, the Elite Package allows you to customize your baby's eye color, hair color, skin tone, physical strength, height, and level of intelligence. It also allows you to fix any inherited genetic diseases that are part of your family history so that your baby and their offspring will live a healthy, comfortable life free of genetic diseases.
Not just manufacturing on a massive scale, massive amount of these better babies like Hitler did with his technology, but it's what? Combined with, notice it was called the Elite Package. What are we talking about? Just boil this all down. Yes, it's a repeat of what Hitler did on steroids, now extrapolated to the world. What are we talking about here? You are tweaking with mankind, not just plants, not just insects and animals, but mankind. And how far can you go and they're no longer humans? See, that's the big issue. And believe it or not, if we're still alive and still here next time, I did an interview with a geneticist on the East Coast. And I asked her that question. How far can you go, percentage-wise, And technically, scientifically, the person is no longer a human as we know it. And you know what she said? You better wait for next week. I'm not joking. First Alive and Still Here. I'm going to share that video clip with you. I've been sitting on it for years. But guess what? What are we doing here? This is a sign Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. It sounds crazy, right? But it's all on tape. It's not just an economic reset. It's a human reset. What's that got to do with the Bible? Everything. It's a repeat of the days of Noah. And Jesus said, when you see that happen again on the planet, he's getting ready to come back. And that's why, folks, he tells this verse, Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, and they are, what do? Stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. We're not heading to the seven-year tribulation. We get out of here prior. But God gives us information and signs that it's getting close, and this is a huge one that's being repeated in our day. So finish strong, bride. It's not a time to be fearful. It's a time to be faithful. Get rid of procrastination. Stop living for this wicked world system. Tell as many people as you can, just like the days of Noah. There was only one way out in the days of Noah, and there was only one door, and that was in the ark, and that was it. And today it's the same thing. Jesus Christ is the door. He's the only way out of this mess, and it's a wooden cross. It's all being repeated. Same message, same time frame, just prior to judgment coming upon this earth. But be rest assured, I'm sure Noah, as the Bible says, was a preacher of righteousness. He tried to warn as many people as he could because he had advanced knowledge, didn't he? We got advanced knowledge. What are we doing? Sitting on it? Nah, we need to tell as many people as we can. Get into the ark of Christ before it's too late. That's the response. Now, if you're here today and you're still not saved, what in the world are you waiting for? Jesus said of this time frame, it's the worst time in the history of mankind. Listen, so horrible that unless God shortened the time frame, listen, the entire human race would be destroyed. Maybe it's just from the wrath of God being poured out for 7 years, and it could be. But when you see what these guys are really up to, maybe it's because if God didn't intervene, would there be any true humans left? Either way, if you're not saved, you need to get saved now. That's not a joke. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven? on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step, to admit that God is holy, that I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.